For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Here at America's greatest college town, Athens. Yeah, I kind of like this rainy, dreary weather here. I like, we need the rain, and I'm telling you, it's good day for the guys to be on the indoor, and that's such a huge benefit. You need to practice some in the rain if you have days like two Saturdays ago, but where that indoor really helps is if you've got bad weather during the week, and it's going to be good on Saturday.
Yeah.
Big plus there.
So. Definitely, yeah. You don't want to be out in the rain getting waterlogging every ball for no reason when you can just step inside that brand new indoor.
The House of Pain.
Indoor facility they got over there, Butt Smear, and have a good practice. So.
Yeah, get it rolling here. So looking forward to the Dogs and Gators. And like we said, Kevin, I mean, we've broken down. We've talked about this game so much with both teams being off last week. No stone unturned, but I think for both sides, you're just ready to – kind of get down to it. Really not a whole lot else to say about it, and both teams getting as healthy as possible. Georgia hopefully getting a couple of guys back. We know Florida's getting three back, including Zuniga, who was just some kind of tough on that defensive end, number 92, just had a devil of a time blocking him a year ago. So without any further ado, it is time for the 5 at 5. And that is brought to you by our friends at Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. So, Kevo, fire away, sir.
Well, since you were talking about getting guys back and both teams getting pretty healthy, I'll start out with the question I didn't even plan on leading off with here. So we got news about Tyson Campbell, Trayvon Walker, and Lawrence Cager possibly being available for Saturday.
Right.
Which of those guys do you think will be available, and how important will it be to have those guys out there on Saturday?
I think all three are huge, right. And certainly when Cager went out against South Carolina, that was an enormous blow to the passing attack. Now, right. I don't want to take anything away from what South Carolina did, but I think if Cager's out there, he could have made the difference. And it felt like he and Jake had a thing going similar to what Jake had with Javon Wims back in 2017, 2 years ago. I just, with the rib and the shoulder, I just don't know. Walker's such a terrific player. And he's going to be a great one, just a valuable part of that defensive line depth. And, you know, certainly with Campbell, he was off to a very good start. And DJ Daniels done a good job. Tyreek McGee's done a good job. Tyreek Stevenson's done a good job. But Campbell was running first string for a reason. He is really fast. Florida's got a bunch of jets out there. So that would be beyond enormous to get him back. But then you know, see a little bit rusty. You know, it's kind of been a week-to-week thing. And a foot injury is not a good thing for a football player to have, but especially at that position, you know, where you're just having to plant and go. Yeah. But I think getting Campbell back would be of paramount importance.
Definitely. If I had to pick one that I could have back on Saturday, it'd probably be Lawrence Cager, just because I see what he does for our offense when he's in there. He's like that go-to guy. Like
it's a big target too.
J.J. Holloman was last year, kind of like you said, but I think we've got a lot of talent to create a lot of players who can kind of not necessarily fill that spot, but, you know, play a role and make an impact.
Yeah, we got to get a little juice going in the passing game. And, I mean, if Cager is back, that'd be big. I mean, if all three of those guys are back, that'd be big. And hopefully Solomon Kinley's healthy and ready to go. So he's really been battling the old injury bug all season.
Right, definitely. And Tyson Kama will be he'd be a big help coming back, but they're – our secondary has done well along with the rest of our defense.
Now, I'll tell you what, now we gave up long touchdowns to both Tennessee and South Carolina.
There was always that one play, but.
And those were big time players who caught them. Let's see, was it Jennings or Callaway for Tennessee? They're both great players. And then obviously Edwards, who's going to be a first round pick for South Carolina.
And if it hadn't been raining like it is outside right now against Kentucky. Who knows? They might have had a big play like that against us.
Took a couple of cracks. Yeah. Boy, that Lynn Bowden, boy, what a player he is.
Oh, yeah.
What a player he
athlete.
Is.
Athlete. Wouldn't want to see him on a sunny day.
Boy, that's the type of thing, too. And he was so good. He reminds you of Randall Cobb, who played every position and wound up at quarterback for Kentucky. We talked about this with Bowden. As great a team as Kentucky had last year, they had that elite defense. Benny Snell's a terrific back. Bowden caught five touchdowns and returned two kicks for touchdowns. You just wonder if they would have played him at quarterback last year, had him and Snell in the backfield together. He's something. All right, what's next?
All right, so last year against the Gators, Jake Fromm went 17 of 24 with 240 yards and three touchdowns.
Yep.
DeAndre Swift with 12 carries for 104 yards and a touchdown.
Yep.
Do you think those guys can produce some similar numbers on Saturday?
I think the passing, I think that's a good number of attempts. I think that yardage is going to be hard to match because Hardman, Godwin, Ridley, Holloman, Nauta.
When I went back
they're
and
gone.
Looked, yeah, when I looked back, went back and looked at the stats, all the Charlie Werner had one 35-yard catch, but other than that, it was all guys that left pretty much.
I'd like to see Charlie get a little bit more involved in the pass game. He is a tremendous blocker, and he's one of those guys. He's on the field virtually every play.
Yeah,
one of the things you'll notice about Charlie Werner too. The guy, I'd like to see, he's just a plus-plus player with what he brings to the field. He's incredibly intelligent, but also he's never on the ground. He's always keeping his feet and can affect things. Heck, I'd love to see him line up some at fullback and go 80s, run a little toss sweep to DeAndre with Charlie leading the way. But he's very good when he comes across the formation and is able to seal off on the edge there. But I'd like to get him up the seam and throw it to him some. I mean, he's a really, really good athlete. So maybe that's something that George is going to try a little bit.
Yeah, we were talking about that on Monday, how we haven't really seen much of him this year. But I feel like I've seen more of Eli Wolf than I've seen him wearing.
Yeah, and Wolf, he had that great catch against Notre Dame. Yeah. He had a big drop against South Carolina on one that went right through his hands. And you know, that's just the type of deal there that Georgia, the passing game right now is just out of sync. Right. But, I mean, you know, you're still a young guy, and sometimes you just get a couple of plays going, that confidence can come right back.
Yep. Yep. So who, other than Swift and Fromm, who do you expect to see a big performance from?
Well, I think you're going to have at least amongst the skill position play. And the offensive line's got to play great. I mean, that's our hot take of the day there. But you're going to have at least one other player who is a big threat, whether that's Pickens, Blaylock, whether it's Samir White, James Cook, Brian Harrion. I think you're going to have at least one other guy, maybe it's Demetrius Robertson, who is going to make Florida sweat. And that's kind of the $64,000 question. We talked about getting the ball maybe to Charlie a little bit more. I thought you might see George get Cook a little bit more involved in the pass game, just to get him out in space some, because he's got a terrific wiggle and great speed. Wow. I think George has handled Zamir perfectly this year. I mean, coming back from those two injuries, kind of letting him get his feet wet this year, and then – you know, knock on wood, he gets through this year injury free, and then I think you really see him unleashed and have the great year next year. But you're just to go on a tangent for a little bit, me being a tailback guy, I mean, I love all these runners, and Swift is, you know, he's one of the best backs that Georgia's had, and that's saying something. But but you can see the couple times when Zamir's gotten out there in the open field, I mean, he looks the part, and he was. No, he was Todd Gurley good coming out, and he's getting it back. And again, knock on wood, hopefully he heads into 2020 100%. And I think you're going to see that incredibly special back. But maybe Georgia dumps it to him out of the backfield a couple of times. We've got to try a few new wrinkles against this Florida defense.
Right. It'd be great to get Zamir going against Florida on Saturday. But I would agree that the main goal for him is to just, you know, get through this season healthy.
Yeah.
And he's looked great doing it so far.
He has. But I like the number of touches he's getting. And
definitely.
You know, just working him back. And I mean, what a great. I mean, when he got on the field against Vanderbilt, it was so awesome.
And, oh, man.
And when he came out running wide right, I almost jumped out of my shoes because that was taking me back to the glory days there. And Zamir has got a chance to be a really special player. And the guy's just such a remarkable story, too.
Yeah. My brother pointed it out. I forget against who, but he got into a little bit of open space and. Adam was like, he kind of runs like that number 27 we had.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of chub in there, too. Yeah. He does. He does. Yeah,
I can see it. I can definitely see it. All right, so moving on. Also on that in that game roughly a year ago, the Dogs had a pretty good performance on the defensive side of the ball. Tyreek McGee with an interception and Monty Rice leading the way with five tackles. So who can and who do you expect to have the biggest impact on defense to give us the best chance to win?
You know who's been terrific this year is Tay Crowder, inside linebacker. So I think Tay's gonna kind of lead the way up there. But remember, too, that Florida game, that was really the coming out party for Jordan Davis on the nose. And I thought there were three things that keyed after the LSU loss from the Florida game through the Tech game when Georgia was as good as anybody. I thought Davis taking over at the nose was one, Swift getting healthy, and you could tell, I mean, the run he had in the fourth quarter against Florida, and that Fromm was no doubt, like, he's the quarterback, he's our guy, he's who we're going with. So hopefully Jordan Davis is healthy and ready to go, because he's a guy that just eats up blockers, and that frees up players to make plays. We had my buddy Vance Levy from Bulldog Illustrated on with us yesterday, and he pointed to Richard LeCount needing him to have a big game, and he's going to be a big key for Georgia not giving up that big play. And then on the flip side, where are the interceptions from the secondary come? And I thought the secondary, and for the most part, they have played good, but they're giving up these deep balls to both Tennessee. They've given up the deep ball to South Carolina there. But you know, where's that interception coming from? I guess what, Reed had one against Notre Dame, and LeCount had one against Tennessee and Knoxville, but. But, you know, we had one of those corners. Is somebody going to pick off a ball? Because this game, it's about – here's how you win this game. It's about not knocking the ball down but getting the interception. Not getting the interception but getting a long return. Not getting a long return but getting a touchdown, getting that pick six. Right. And those are the types of plays that make a difference in this game. So I'd love to see that secondary. You know, I mean, first of all, don't get beat deep. Play a good game. But would love to see the secondary create something. I've been disappointed in the number of interceptions this year.
Yeah, I also thought I'd see the Savage Patch a little bit more. But if it's a defensive lineman that's going to be our impact player, that's going to be good news.
Oh, for sure.
That'll mean that we'll have some TFLs and some sacks. But
and the South Carolina game, we had three TFLs, no sacks, no turnovers.
Yeah. So.
That's just – I mean, the defense played good. Obviously, there was a pick six. It certainly played well enough to win. Now, the defense shut out Kentucky, but still think that's one of the big things that Kirby's looking for, making more of those impact plays.
Yeah. And if it's if Richard LeCount's going to be the guy to be the impact player, man, when he's creating turnovers, the energy he brings to the team is absolutely contagious.
Yeah,
and it gives us a lot of momentum.
And the thing too with Richard, he's always looking to make the big play, but at the same time, you can't afford to get beat deep. You know, Kirby talks about those rat trap plays when you bite, when you go for the cheese, and that's how Georgia got burned against Tennessee. So, you know, if Richard is the other Kevin Butler likes to say, play with that controlled fury there. J.R. Reed's had two really good games against Florida. I mean, he had the scoop and score after the big sack 2 years ago. So I'd love to see the secondary come up with a pick or two on Saturday.
That's probably one of my favorite Georgia-Florida moments of all time.
It was a really good one.
Just because I was at the game, I'd come out of the
You said you were right there. Yeah, that's awesome.
I didn't miss it. I came out of the concession stand. They were getting ready to hike the ball, so I was like, all right, I'll watch this play, and then walk to my seat, and that ended up being the scoop and score play.
It was great timing.
Oh, yeah.
Great timing. Awesome.
No, so that kind of leads me into my next question right here. So what's one factor for this Georgia-Florida game that's going to decide the game besides points scored? So whether it's the turnover battle, I saw a stat earlier this week that the team that won the rushing battle this decade has won it every time.
For sure.
So,
well, and you think back, when Florida was really dominating this thing, Georgia won in 97, Robert Edwards ran for four touchdowns. At Georgia in 2004, Danny Ware ran for 100 yards, and Thomas Brown had a good game. The 07 game, Knowshon had 188 yards and was just remarkable. And then Richard Samuel in 2011 had a big game, and then Gurley in 12 and 13,
definitely.
And certainly in 17, you know, Sony had the long touchdowns, and last year it was Swift who made the difference. So the running game and turnovers, and again, this game, the running game and turnovers are the biggest. And if there's a knot, because when I think back to the bad days down there, those non-offensive touchdowns, and Florida probably got one every way, long interceptions, pick sixes, kickoff returns, punt returns, block punts, fake field goals, you name it. Those are the types of things you got to avoid. And if you can get one, that makes a huge difference. Huge.
Right. All right, so I got a couple more real quick.
Yeah, you don't have to be too quick.
So Atlanta United's playing at home tonight in the MLS Cup semifinals against Toronto FC. If they win, since LAFC lost last night, Atlanta can host the MLS Cup final for the second straight year.
Okay.
So where do you think Atlanta United ranks right now in the average Georgia sports fan's level of importance? Behind the Hawks, you think?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. So even if they – so what do you think?
Here's the thing. It's I'm glad they're doing well.
Right.
And I enjoy soccer. But it's a minor league.
Right. And, I mean, I can already tell because, I mean, they won it last year and just the reaction was just like, all right, it's not like if the Falcons or the Braves.
Oh, God, no, it's not God, even no. close. Again, it's a minor league.
That didn't break the curse, you know.
I think Brame looked up something. There's some site that ranks every football club in the world, professional one. And after Atlanta won it last year, they're in the 180s.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's good that they're doing well, and I know they've been very kid-friendly and fan-friendly, and I think that's fantastic. But it's barely a blip on the radar.
It's
to me, it'd be like a double-A team winning a baseball championship.
Right, and the seasons in the MLS are different from the, you know, European seasons in – you know, all those European teams want to play in the Champions League, so, like, teams from England can play against,
teams from Spain
Messi
and Italy.
Spain.
Yeah.
But since the seasons are kind of not they're not simultaneous, you can't really compete against those guys in a meaningful game. It's always, like, a summer, like, friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And, it'll be exciting in years to come. We'll see a lot of big names come over from Europe and play for Atlanta United, I'm sure. But, I mean, no, I was thinking earlier, I was like, we could win it 5 straight times, and it wouldn't really, I mean, I don't know.
And I know Atlanta draws so well. I mean, are any other teams drawing even remotely close to how the United draw?
What do you mean?
Drawing.
Like the fans?
Fans, yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, so Portland Timbers, they've got a really good fan base. The team we beat in the final last year, and I was watching.
They're we now, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're we.
All right.
They're we. definitely not talking about Orlando. I guess that's our big rival, Orlando.
Well, yeah, it's in the south.
Yeah, it's the closest one. Those are some tough games, intense. But, no, I was watching the other semifinal game, Seattle and L.A. last night, and L.A. had a pretty good environment. If they've gone to an Atlanta United game, it's crazy, man. It's an environment for sure.
Well, no, I think it's good. I've got a lot of friends who've gone who've really enjoyed it. So I hope they do well and see they play tonight, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They play tonight at 8 p.m. at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
The Toronto Football Club.
To see who's going to go meet the Seattle Sounders in the
Seattle Sounders
MLS Cup final.
I got a buddy who used to call their games, the Seattle Sounders.
Really?
He was British.
Yeah.
And he said he would use half American terms and then half English soccer terms.
Right.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Right, yeah. All right, so I got a kind of pop culture type of
Yeah, I
question.
Love those.
Got a nice little would you rather here.
Okay.
All right. Would you rather have to eat with only a spoon or only a fork for the rest of your life?
Mm-hmm. So. That was just it.
Yeah.
Only a spoon or a fork? I think you'd probably have to go spoon because you're talking soup and cereal.
Yeah, and I mean, you think about stuff where you, I mean, you want to
poke
stuff.
I could pick up fried chicken with my hands. So
exactly.
Good to go.
Exactly, yeah. I thought about it. I was like, little pieces of steak. I was like,
But and then you think too, you could use a spoon. Now, you wouldn't look refined to do mac and cheese, corn, like English peas or butter beans, which is my favorite vegetable, green beans. I think that the spoon is much more useful than the fork. Or could you combine, like what you get at some fast food, the spork.
The spork.
That's one of the great inventions of all time.
I think that's is not allowed in this scenario.
So what would you go with?
I was thinking about it. I'd have to go spoon because I would get way more frustrated with the fork because, I mean, I'll eat cereal and, you know, a lot of stuff that would fall through. But one thing with the spoon, it'd be a nightmare eating some spaghetti. That'd be tough, yeah.
You'd have to get two spoons and just wear a bib, like when you're eating the lobster there.
Right, yeah, that'd be tough. But I was thinking of a lot of things that you eat with a fork, like, you know, rice and beans and stuff, and like corn.
You could
eat
that with a spoon.
Yeah, it's like almost better to eat with a spoon.
100%. You really shovel it in there fast. So why but you're right, though, because I love pasta, too. There's some pastas where it would be borderline impossible. You could do a lasagna, a manicotti,
right.
You probably slice in there, but even like a chicken parm, you got the spaghetti there.
And
that's
stuff
tough.
That's stuff that you can't really grab with your hands. That's kind of messy.
That'd be kind of gross.
Right.
You don't want to do that on a date.
Right. You'd have to put me in a high chair and take my shirt off.
Yeah, with spaghetti. I remember when I was a kid, my mom would make spaghetti sometimes. Mom, can I just take my shirt off? No, you may not. It's going to get messy. It's going to go everywhere. I love spaghetti. Sir, is a great question. Yeah. So I thought that was an one. I'm like, oh, golly, that is a good one.
Yeah.
Spoon That's or fork? Yeah, spoon. And spork is not allowed.
Yeah.
Hey, it's your question. You invent the rules. I love it. Great job there, Kevin. That is the 5 at 5, and it's brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. College Football Hall of Fame Bulldog legend Matt Stinchcomb joins us just around the corner right here on your home of the Dogs, Athens Sports Radio 960, The Ref. And it's time for a Southern Sports Center brought to you by University Tire and Automotive, located on Mitchell Bridge and Lexington Road in Athens and the Atlanta Highway in Loganville. We are 3 days away from the Dogs and Gators on the banks.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.